You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Joining us right now is Josh Krasharow from the National Journal. Josh, good morning. Thanks for joining us on Mornings on the Mall. Appreciate you being here with us.
Good to be back on the show.
All right, Congress coming back today. They only have a couple of weeks left to the end of the year. We have a wish list of what we'd like to see them accomplish. In your opinion, what will they realistically accomplish by the end of the year?
Well, look, tax reform is the biggest ticket item for Republicans, and President Trump is meeting with Senate Republicans tomorrow to try to win over some of the wavering Republicans. We saw with health care that you know, you can only lose two Republican senators. They already have about a half dozen that still haven't committed towards the tax reform package. So this is going to be a crucial week to see if President Trump can get his first big-ticket legislative item through Congress by the end of the year.
Yeah, and the resistance here from the Republicans is not as strong as it was on health care. They were sending much clearer signals. It seems like most of the Republicans who are sitting in opposition, with the exception of Ron Johnson, are kind of on the fence right now. It's not clear yet where they're going.
That's right. I mean, you have a lot of gettable Republicans. And with health care, I think there was a lot of worry that certain constituents of certain Republican senators could end up losing health care. And there was a worry about the political impact, much more so than with tax reform. With tax reform, the two senators to watch, I think, are Jeff Flake and Bob Corker, both of whom are not running for re-election. They've been prominent critics of President Trump. And there's a fear within the Senate Republican caucus that they may just want to, like, get back at President Trump by voting against his signature initiative.
And well, that would be a hell of a way to prove that the President of the United States is a child by throwing a tantrum, you know what I mean? I mean, they've accused
With Corker, and I think that both Corker and Flake have well-articulated differences with the president, but
right.
A lot of it is personal, and politics is personal, and getting, with Lisa Murkowski on the health care bill, I think a lot of her opposition towards passing health care reform and opposing it, rather, was personal. You know, Corker is a budget hawk. He generally has been stating his skepticism of increasing the deficit initially to finance tax cuts and tax reform. So I think he's gettable, but I think there's a lot of massaging.
For a guy like Corker or anybody else who's saying that this will add to the debt and that's their concern, it suggests to me that these are Republicans who don't believe in the idea that tax cuts will lead to enough growth to sustain government revenue.
Well, you have the supply-side Republicans, and that's the majority of the party. Corker is sort of a throwback in many ways to sort of the Rudman, the old balanced budget wing of the Republican Party. And then they're a little more skeptical about the growth potential or some of the estimates that can be about the amount of revenue that can be gained from tax cuts. Corker is gettable. I think he generally doesn't want to be the guy that would disrupt a big conservative priority. But I think Trump has a lot of work to do, and McConnell has a lot of work to do to make sure that all of the individual issues that these Republicans have are addressed.
Let me flip over to these sexual harassment allegations and sexual misconduct that are rocking Congress right now. Nancy Pelosi yesterday called John Conyers an icon. Here's a little bit of sound of her saying that.
John Conyers is an icon in our country. He's done a great deal to protect women.
She also says that he should be afforded due process here, although she's called Roy Moore a child molester. Are Democrats kind of talking out of both sides of their mouths as they deal with this?
Well, I think Nancy Pelosi's staff may have taken the Thanksgiving holiday a little long, because that was a big blunder for Pelosi. I mean, it was really funny if you watched that whole interview. She wanted to talk about tax reform, and she started filibustering on Meet the Press when she didn't get to talk about what she came on to talk about. But the Conyers issue, the bipartisan nature of these sexual harassment challenges, and Tanya's in particular, is something that's going to be dogging Democrats and prevent them from kind of exploiting the Roy Moore situation as much as they would like to. I mean, what she meant was he's been in Congress since 1964. He's been in Congress since the Beatles at their first tour here in D.C. He's the longest-serving member of the House. There is a certain level of deference that's had it traditionally been given to him. He's in his late 80s. He barely functions, even though he's ranking member of the Judiciary Committee. But, I mean, I think when he stepped down as ranking member later that day was an acknowledgement that she had made a mistake and he needed to do something to basically show that Democrats were taking his problem seriously.
Yeah, and I'd also like to ask you about President Trump saying that he would like to move on to welfare reform after a win with the budget. Do you think there's even an outside chance they could get that ball rolling before the new year?
Yeah, I don't know before the new year. There's so much else, including passing a new budget, to get done before the end of December. But yeah, I think that's actually something that could get some Democrats on board. I mean, I remember Bill Clinton's biggest bipartisan achievement back in the 90s was welfare reform. And you do have, it does kind of fit Trump's kind of agenda, his worldview very well. And it's something that might be able to peel off some of these red state Democrats up for re-election in 2018. So that would make a lot of sense politically. And I think there may be some policy reasons.
Josh,
that as, well.
As the president meets with lawmakers this week, especially Republicans, what is his message to them, do you believe?
What will his message be, or what should his message be? I mean,
what will it be?
His message is I'm going to help you win. You got to support the team. And look, the elections are coming up in about a year. Any divisions between the president and the Republican Party are going to lead to losses, major losses in Congress. So I think he's going to be sending a message that the party needs to remain as united as possible, so we can hold the House, hold the Senate, and get some big legislation accomplished.
Josh Krauscher is the political editor for National Journal. And thanks so much, Josh, for joining us this morning.